From the beautiful campus of Texas A&M University, the Sidney and J.L. Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology brings you the Sports Medicine Podcast. Our mission is to make sense of and connect the science, practice, and application of the latest findings in sports medicine and human performance to the real world. Here's our host, the director of the Huffines Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
Well, hello, and welcome to the weekly edition of the Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance podcast. We are so glad that you took the time to download us and you're listening. Every week we bring you interesting people from the world of sports medicine and general health, and this week, again, is no exception to that. We actually have a repeat guest. I think this is our second repeat guest. We have Mr. Brian Minetti, who is the Assistant General Manager for the Washington Nationals Major League Baseball franchise. And he was, if you remember, he was here with us in March, and we chatted quite a bit about the upcoming season. And now we're going to, since the season is rapidly coming to a close, we're going to talk about that. So welcome to the podcast today, Brian.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me back.
Well, of course we had to have you back, because at the beginning of the season we talked about what might happen, and look, you guys have won your division. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been a long year. It's amazing how quickly it's gone at sometimes, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and to give everybody perspective that doesn't follow baseball, this is the first division championship, I believe, that y'all have won as a franchise there in Washington, right?
Yep, yeah, first time for playoff baseball in D.C. since, I believe, 39.
Wow.
First time in the organization's history, so it's pretty exciting.
Super. Congratulations. And even more so, I think you guys, as of today, I know you've got one more game, but as of today, you've won 96 games so far, and such a turnaround from last year.
Yeah, I mean, the year-to-year progress we've made even since I got here in 2010 has been incredible. I mean, it's really hard to believe how much territory we've covered in such a short time, but it's not easy to win the amount of games we've won, but the progression we made over the last 3 years is really pretty incredible.
Yeah. So what do you attribute it to? Why this year? Why did everything turn around this year?
I think on a lot of levels it was, you know, our young players taking the next step they needed to take, our veteran guys, you know, continue that or performed above their past performances. So I think it was just a nice combination of the right group of guys at the right times in their career. We really have gotten a lot out of these guys. And a couple of the young guys we brought up later in the year have just been phenomenal, too. So it's just been a nice combination of players, the right place, right time, and you know, it's a good group of character guys as well. I think that helps.
Yeah. Do you think this experience will actually pull them together and so they'll be able to sustain this kind of performance over the coming years?
I sure hope so. I mean, I think that it's pulled them together all throughout the year, and really it's been fun to watch. I mean, it was one of the things we tackled when we first came on board here is kind of getting rid of a lot of the bad eggs.
Hmm.
We really do have a good quality group of guys that pull for each other. They're not often different cliques or anything like that. It's really interesting how this team of guys came together. They're all very different in a lot of ways, but I think that does bode well for the future. I think a lot of these guys who have come up together through the minor leagues and now enjoyed success together in the major leagues can take that to the next step.
Yeah. I know one of your young players is Bryce Harper, who has really made a big splash. I think he was 19 through most of the season. How has that enthusiasm, I guess, that he has brought, has that added something to it, to the mixture?
For sure, yeah. It's contagious. And it's funny, it's not just us. It's the teams we're playing against. We'll watch him, you know, hustling around the bases and playing hard on defense and swinging hard at the plate and having, you know, good pitch selection at the plate. And all the things that he's doing so well and so aggressively have caught on with all the teams, you know, all the players on our team, all the teams we're playing. We've had, you know, a countless number of guys on other teams say, gosh, you know, it's hard to not run a ball at the first base when you see this guy gunning it every single time. And, you know, same thing with our players. I mean, you can watch our players running harder down the line than they have in a while just because they watch him play and the difference it makes in a game, and they want to make that difference too.
Yeah, it's nice to see that that bleed-over effect, I guess, huh?
For sure.
Yeah. We talked in March a lot about sports medicine and in Major League Baseball, and especially since baseball is really the only major American sport that has a farm system or minor league system, how you kind of tracked sports injuries through that system. Has that worked pretty well for you this year? How have your injury rates been this year?
Actually, I think they've been up a little bit.
Mm.
And, you know, there's a lot of different theories for that. I think we're seeing in baseball more oblique injuries
right
than we've had in the past. And it's one of those things that changes year to year. I think a lot of people have theories on strength and conditioning and strength training and that type of stuff, and you know what people are focusing on, what muscles people are focusing on, and then unfortunately the ones that are getting neglected are the ones that are getting hurt. And it's something that nobody's quite figured out yet, but I think generally we had a lot of those issues throughout baseball, and we were no exception. And I would think our numbers are up probably a little bit, and unfortunately it's why we keep following the research and keep adjusting our programs and our methods, because you never know. You never quite have this thing figured out.
Right. That oblique injury issue is kind of a new one on the scene, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's one of those things where, it never really was an issue before. Now all of a sudden it's rampant throughout baseball. So, I think the trainers and the medical staff every year have, meetings, and I guarantee this is something to talk a lot about this year and hopefully get their arms around.
Yeah. Do you think this is the weakest link in the musculature? They've developed these players, they've developed everything else, and then the obliques are something that they really haven't developed enough, and then they start taking these huge cuts, and that really causes those kind of strains? Or
it's tough for me to say. I mean, I don't know fully. Each guy's body is different, obviously, and I don't know fully, whatever single guy goes through in his strength program. But, I think you have different trends in strength training.
Yeah.
And, whether it's, speed or working on your core or your upper body or whatever it is, I think it changes from team to team and year to year. And, sometimes you don't realize you're missing something until you've missed it and you have injuries as a result. So
right.
It's one of those things that will continue to be evaluated and hopefully adjusted.
Yeah. Now, on the sports medicine front, you guys this year really did something that no one else has done in the past that I know of anyway, and that is that after a certain number of innings, you set down one of your star pitchers.
We did, yeah. It was a very, very popular topic.
Well, for those people that are listening, give us a little background on what happened and maybe why you guys decided to do that.
Sure. Well, we've actually done that organizationally for years.
Oh, really?
Another major league example last year was Jordan Zimmermann, who we shut down right around the same number of innings.
Hmm.
Right around the same time of year as well. It was a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And in our minor league system, we do it, with a handful of guys every year. And really, it's something we've come up with. It's an innings progression we've come up with internally based on age and workload.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have rehab protocols for guys coming back from surgery. And, Steven Strasburg is the pitcher you're talking about. And Steven actually fell into both buckets. He was a guy who's 24 and still trying to reach inning totals he's never reached in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And also, a year plus removed from Tommy John surgery, reaching new thresholds there with a new ligament in his elbow. So it was twofold for us. We wanted to protect, obviously, his arm and the rest of his body. And as things progressed here later in the season, we were starting to see some signs of fatigue in different areas other than just, everyone wanted to look at the scoreboard and see the velocity is still very strong. But we started to see fatigue in a lot of different areas, and we realized it was time to pull the plug. Something we had planned on, at the beginning of the year, because we've done it with, countless other guys in our organization, and we just weren't exactly sure when and where it was going to hit. And as we got into early September and saw more signs of that fatigue, we decided to stop. And, while, it was obviously a very popular topic, it's not something anybody has, definitive answers on, but
yeah.
I think, unfortunately for us, the only way to find out you did it wrong is when he's hurt.
Right, right.
So we wanted to take our chances and shut them down.
Well, interesting, in baseball, many people are very familiar with pitch counts and, limiting pitchers to 100 pitches or whatever the standard is. But I really think that y'all have brought it to the forefront where you looked at innings pitched, total innings pitched over the course of the season.
Yeah, and we just, one of the things, it's not just a cut and dry number of innings pitched. And we follow the number of pitches per inning.
Mm.
We actually came up with a very sound process internally where we gauge basically, we came up with what we call the stress matrix, where we talked about how stressful were the pitches and the innings that he threw. And that was really kind of critical for us. We've, really tried to keep an eye on what type of innings. So I saw a lot of people kind of make comments like, well, hey, there's a difference between a 15-pitch inning and a 30-pitch inning and a 45-pitch inning early in a game and that type of stuff, or a 90-pitch, 5-inning outing versus a 90-pitch, 9-inning outing. And obviously, there are differences, and that's where we've tried to account for that as well. It's really not a cut and dry thing, and we try to pay as close attention as we could to each outing just to make sure we were engaging where he was physically.
Yeah. Is this something that other teams have talked to you guys about using? Do you see this as becoming a trend not only in the professional leagues but maybe in collegiate and lower ranks?
I think a lot of teams, I mean, we're obviously not going to provide there. We came up with it ourselves, but
sure.
I think every team has their own way of tracking and doing this. I mean, there are other teams that shut players down this year. The Rangers have done it. The Blue Jays did it with one of their prospects this year. So, I mean, there are a lot of teams that do this type of stuff, and they all have their own theories and methods on it. Now, at the end of the day, they're probably all pretty similar.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody has their own tweaks and methods. So I think that, you know, all teams probably do it and do it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And then in terms of whether that gets out to the masses, I don't know that it probably won't because it's proprietary.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there's enough research out there publicly that people can come up with their own ways.
Yeah. Well, you guys have certainly gotten the publicity because you shut down such a high-profile player.
For sure.
Yeah. So I imagine that was a fairly difficult decision, though, on some level because – you guys were approaching your first playoffs in many, many, many years, and as you said, the first playoff baseball in D.C. since 1939, and he is one of your star pitchers. Was there much difficulty there, or was it at the beginning of the season we said we're just going to limit him to this and that no matter what happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think we knew all offseason it was going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And so the decision was made. The hard part was, you know, dealing with all the criticism. I mean, not so much for me, but you know, look, the general manager had to take quite a few calls and quite a few interviews on the topic and, you know, obviously took a lot of heat for, you know, being a total idiot for trying to do this. And I think that is probably the worst part. The reality is, you know, we've got to look this player in the eye every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we ride him until he's hurt, we're still going to have to look him in the eye every day next year and the year after. And that's not something we were willing to do and take a chance on his health and his future with us or anyone. You know, really. So I think on some level, I think players obviously respected that, and that made the decision a lot easier because we care about these guys and we don't want to, you know, just treat them like an asset and nothing else. And I think that the other part of it, too, is it made it easier when we've got four other guys in the rotation that are really doing very well.
Right.
You know, if he had been the only pitcher in the rotation carrying us to that point, it would have been probably a lot more difficult to do. But the fact that we had four other very solid options, and then, frankly, our sixth, seventh, and eighth options for our rotation were better than a lot of teams 1 through 5. So we've been in a pretty good spot with pitching all year, and I think that helped make everything go away a little bit, you know, more easily.
Well, and this is certainly a topic that you're, especially around collegiate baseball, when you get towards the end of the season and some of these pitchers have pitched large numbers of innings, you know, for long periods of time, you know, and in that level, sometimes they play ball all year round. And so this is, I salute you folks for really taking a stand on this and taking action to maybe preserve somebody for a longer-term career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's our goal. That's our goal with all of our guys. I mean, we don't want to, you know, treat them like just rented products. I mean, we want to take care of them for the future.
Yeah. So that's good. You're in it for the long term.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Again, I think the players know that and the agents know that and that type of stuff. So this becomes more of a place where they know they'll get taken care of and they'll be treated well.
Yeah. As we record this, it looks like, depending on the outcome of the game today, that you guys will probably play the winner of the wild card play-in game. Is that still correct?
Yeah. If we win, it should end up that way. So that's the interesting thing about the playoffs now and obviously clinching the division is we just don't know where we're going to on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday this weekend. So just kind of waiting to see how everything else unfolds.
You must give the traveling secretary nightmares.
You know, we've got a very, very good one, Rob McDonald, and he's done a hell of a job lining everything up for every potential city. So he's got it pretty well wired. It just it added a little extra work for him.
Yeah. Now, what are you guys going to focus on improving during the playoffs? Are there some areas that you really want to focus on here over the next few weeks as you go through the playoffs, or is it going to kind of be what you've been doing the whole time?
I think it's going to be what we've been doing the whole time. We have, you know, advanced scouts out watching the teams that we would potentially play, looking for any sort of tendencies or anything like that we can glean. Beyond that, the players that we're going to compete with are the players that we have. So, you know, I think for the most part, it's just riding guys out, making sure they're ready to contribute.
Yeah. So, playoffs are going to be over, and you guys are going to win the World Series, right? Before long. here in a few months. So let's think. I'm also thrilled because I'm an old Orioles fan, and you know, there's a possibility that you guys could be playing the Orioles in the World Series, and that'd be like the best of both worlds, huh?
That'd be pretty exciting for this region.
So what happens in the offseason? What are you guys focused on improving, and what do you do with your players? Talk us through a normal offseason for your players, assuming you win the World Series and you have 3 weeks of celebration, and then you start thinking about next year.
Sure. Well, I can tell you we've already started thinking about next year.
Okay.
Deadlines and things like that will sneak up on you real fast.
Yeah.
We've already started preparing for free agency and salary arbitration and Rule 5 drafts and winter meetings and all that type of stuff. It's one of those things where we have to stay ahead of it in order to make sure that we, you know, we're on pace. So, yeah, I mean, the off season for us in the office is about twice as much work as during the season. It's just more kind of controlled hours because we don't have to be here through, you know, 11:30, 12, 1 o'clock every night for games. And there's a little less travel. So, the off season should be, you know, fun again. I mean, we'll be busy and we'll be active. We'll hopefully pursue some free agents to fill some needs, depending on what we lose, and we'll see where it goes.
Now, how closely do you guys monitor your players during the off season? I mean, do you give them an off season nutrition or weightlifting plan, or they kind of on their own for the next couple months?
Oh, we do. We do, especially the minor league guys. We do. We stay in touch with them, checking with them multiple times in the off season. A lot of guys will come through D.C. We're working on having a kind of an off-season conditioning checkpoint, if you will, where we just check in on guys, bring them to Florida, get together, go through the program, make sure they're keeping up. I know that's something a lot of teams do. A lot of teams have, you know, full-on conditioning camps in the off-season, but we're working towards that. But no, guys are you know, I guess mostly on their own, but there's a lot of checking in and making sure they're following our programs that we lay out.
Cool. Well, Brian, thanks again. We're running a little bit short of time here. Thanks so much for taking time today. For our listeners, you should know that Brian has missed the first 15 minutes of their last baseball game to talk to us today. So we're very appreciative of your time. What kind of take-home message would you have for the audience that's listening?
I think probably the best thing and the most fitting story is just you know, stick with what you believe in when you're doing whatever it is you're doing, whatever it's research or school or whatever. You know, this is my 12th year in baseball, and a lot of losing, and our team has come together. The process has been right. The people have been right, and we're finally starting to see some fruits of that labor. A lot of success, and it's been a lot of fun. So just keep your nose down and your helmet on, and make sure you're doing things the right way.
Cool. Well, Brian, once again, thank you so much for being with us today, and we are so excited about your success, and we'll all be watching the playoffs and cheering you guys on.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Now, for the rest of you that are listening, thank you so much for joining us today, and here with our T-shirt question of the week is one of our producers, Kelly.
What is a common injury in baseball that hasn't been a problem in the past?
Excellent question. Be the first one to send us the email answer to that question at huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu, and you'll win one of those nifty podcast T-shirts. So thanks again, Brian, for being with us, and thank you all for downloading us and joining us. And we hope that you do the same thing next week. Until then, we hope you stay active and stay healthy.
Thanks for listening to the Huffines Institute Weekly Sports Medicine Podcast. This podcast was produced by Cheryl Marek and Samantha Springer, made possible by generous support from the Omar Smith family and the Sidney and J.L. Huffines family. This podcast is published under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. That means you can't sell it or change it, but feel free to give it to everyone you know and talk and blog about us. And in case you were wondering, our openings and closings are provided by johnmilesproductions.com. Music was provided by David Zeltner. Find him on the web at davidzeltner.com. And just so you know, we love hearing from you. If you have questions or comments, please send them to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huffines Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.